and welcome to the Trenches Technology Podcast. I'm your host, Sharon Bueno, Managing Editor of Trenches Technology Magazine. No doubt about it, we are all going through some really difficult and scary times. Everyone at Trenches Technology hopes that you and your families are safe and well during this global health crisis. I, as well as all my coworkers, have been bringing you the trenchless news from our homes these past few weeks and will continue to do so until we are given the all clear. We are all hopeful that things will return to normal soon, but until then, we wish everyone the very best going forward. Today on the podcast, I'm talking with Michael Caputi and Sylvia Caputi with Epoxy Tech. This is a really good story. Epoxy Tech is known in trenchless circles for its work with epoxy coatings, but have recently taken on a different challenge to help out during this COVID-19 crisis. Epoxy Tech, in the span of a few days, weeks, have repurposed its manufacturing facility to produce much needed hand sanitizer, something I think we can all agree on has been a much sought after commodity these days, especially by first responders, hospital, and the like. And they're gonna talk to us today about how this all came about. So welcome, Michael and Sylvia.
Thank you.
So let me start off by asking, just in general, how things are with you and your families, as well as the company in the midst of all this COVID-19 era we're going through.
Well, thank you, Sharon, for hosting. And thank you, Trenchless Technologies, for providing this platform for us. What we're doing here is trying to create a win-win situation. Our families are well and safe at the moment, and we're doing our best creating some processes here to keep our employees safe as well while we do this effort.
Why don't you start off by giving some background on Epoxy Tech and its role in the trenchless industry?
So Epoxy Tech's background started in the early 90s with my father. He was a pioneer with epoxies, even in the 70s, where he had his first job with another company, selling some very specific high-performance epoxies. In the 90s, we kind of went after the water and wastewater industry by developing some practical coatings to apply for infrastructure, mainly on treatment plants. And then as we grew, we started going into underground environments and providing structural coatings as well as non-structural coatings. And we've been serving the trenchless industry ever since. Our company, even though it's very specialized, we have a national footprint with a variety of certified applicators that apply our coatings and our structural lining systems for various structures in the water and wastewater sector.
So how did this idea come about of producing hand sanitizer?
Well, it started, around the beginning of March when everything on the news started to look pretty grim. And we were preparing our own company for what could possibly come and getting supplies and hoping that we could stay open. And our office manager, Victoria Nixon, was having trouble finding hand sanitizer for our internal office use. So she came up with the idea based on a YouTube channel that she saw that of making our own sanitizer for ourselves internally in the office. So she brought that to Ross Davidson, one of our chemists here on staff, and asked him if he thought that would be something we could do. And his response was, well, it's easier than making epoxies. I definitely think we can do this. So they brought it to us, management. And at that time, we were just kind of playing around with the idea of doing this internally for the office. And that was, beginning of March, then, around mid-March, things really started to go, have a downward spiral around the country. And it was a Friday evening, Mike and I were at home and listening to one of the presidential briefings. And President Trump was talking about how small businesses could help and using ingenuity and resources to help in whatever way possible. And we really thought about it and we thought, there's a possibility here that we can not only do this for ourselves, but we can do this for the community. So we really got educated that weekend. We spent the weekend studying what the FDA had put out as a temporary guideline for small businesses to create hand sanitizer. So that it's a formula that they put out and a very specific process on how small businesses could do this. So we went with that idea and we started contacting people we knew around the community to see if the need was really as great as it seemed to be. So we contacted our friends that are police officers and firefighters and nurses. And what we found was that, yes, in fact, it was pretty bad. A lot of people were really in need and didn't have or were running out of supplies. And this was a need that we could possibly fill.
So from the discussion of that initial idea and the research that you had went through, how did you move forward in implementing the plan to go forward and produce hand sanitizer? What did you have to go through?
Well, once we decided that, yes, this was in fact something we could do, we met with the team on that Monday morning. And by then our city ordinance had already put into place the non-essential businesses had to close. And we are considered an essential business because we provide for critical infrastructure, to maintain critical infrastructure. So we stayed open. However, we were a skeleton crew at that time. Anybody who could stay home stayed home. So there were about four or five of us that Monday morning sitting 6 feet apart with our masks on, our gloves on, and we got to work. We turned over the formula to our chemist, who studied that and confirmed that he could produce the product. And then we got to the really hard part of securing raw materials and supplies. And that has just continued on and gotten worse and worse as the days progressed. Materials are very hard to find. Normal business doesn't exist. Getting the materials was just extremely challenging. In addition to that, we had to register with the FDA, which is something completely new to our business. So that I will give a lot of credit to the FDA. They have been extremely helpful and really trying to help businesses like ours move along and get registered and do everything we need to do in order to create a product that is to their specifications. So we all got to work. We delegated. We have our sales team at working remotely. They are really holding down the fort of our business, our core business. So they've taken over that. We have our chemist and production manager creating the product. We have our office manager completely overwhelmed, but doing an excellent job with maintaining orders and working on securing the raw materials and supplies that we need. I took over the FDA portion, getting our company registered. Michael is overseeing all of this and also working with cities and municipalities that are in need and making sure that we can fulfill the need that is out there.
So how many workers at Epoxy Tech are part of this project?
We have about, there's management is myself and Sylvia. We have a chemist that we kind of pivoted to making this full-time focus at the moment. So that's three of us. And then we have operators that are helping to mix and produce and bottle, anywhere between two and four people that are doing that effort. We're keeping our distance. Everyone has their station. We're checking temperatures as they come in and logging that. And to segue what Sylvia was saying, I mean, even to get this up and running, we manufacture here epoxy. So we had to create batch tickets, QC, put together quality assurances by alcohol meters to make sure that, you know, we're actually mixing per our normal specifications on how we do quality control. So, all in all, there's, you know, anywhere between four and six of us at any given time. We're trying to produce anywhere around 1,100 to 1,200 units per day, assuming we have all the raw materials in stock. And we're doing production usually about 2 to 4 times a week, just depending on where we're at with raw materials.
So the name of the product, you called it MonoCare. Yes. How did you come up with that name?
Well, we're very proud of the name. It speaks to who we are. Really coming up with the name was one of the last steps on that Monday when we were really in our war room getting our process in place. Michael looked at us and said, we need a name. And one of our chemists, Das is his name, he said, doesn't mono mean hand in Italian? And I said, it also means hand in Spanish. Well, Michael's Italian and I'm Spanish of Cuban descent. So MonoCare came to life.
It's a great name.
Thank you.
So what is how much hand sanitizer can you produce or distribute in any given day or week? Do you have set goals? Or are you just going obviously by orders?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of touch and go. We really do have a boiler room set up here. war room with Sylvia and our office manager, Victoria, are constantly working with a variety of vendors, new vendors that want to be paid up front in cash to secure bottles and caps, and even getting our labels in and getting the raw materials, liquid raw materials in, are all new vendors we never dealt with before. Some of the commitment times have been readjusted, but when we do have all the raw materials in, which at this moment we have quite a bit of alcohol in, and we have also a variety of different options of containers to present to people, we're producing, you know, on average about 1,000 to 1,200 units per day. We're doing that maybe production about 3 to 4 times a week. So, you know, and in a given week, you know, we can probably get about conservatively about 4,000 units done. And right now we're experiencing a little bit of a backlog, but we're kind of getting over that hump. Going into next week, we should actually have some material in stock, you know, ready to go for first time buyers.
Was this a difficult transition for you to make?
It wasn't difficult in the sense of what we had to do to formulate, mix, and bottle. Like Sylvia mentioned, this is our core business, is mixing very sticky multiple ingredient material called epoxies that we normally sell to water wastewater sector. The formula here is much more simplified, it's much lower viscosity, it's not sticky. So in that sense, it wasn't very difficult. What was difficult is the time frame in which, literally over a weekend, we got ourselves educated by the FDA, applied to the FDA, got our labeler number back from the FDA, created a batch ticket, created labels, created an SDS, created a technical data sheet, got our people trained on hazardous handling of flammable materials, which we normally don't deal with, and started mixing and applying with safety and quality assurances. That transition, although it wasn't difficult, it's in our wheelhouse. It was just a lot of moving parts in a very short time. And plus, we also wanted to have a lot of prototypes made to make sure that we actually have our QC in place before we send it out to the public. That all happened in a time frame of probably 5 days. So we were really, you know, I'm a little jealous going around the neighborhood seeing everyone in their swimming pools at the moment in our neighborhood, but we've been working harder than ever and leaving our kids at home to support them with their schooling. So, but they're handling it well, and we're coming in, and Sylvia and I are kind of, you know, throwing the baton back and forth to make sure we have someone here from a leadership position to keep these efforts going.
What has been the response from the community about this endeavor you've undertaken?
The response has been tremendous. We are really feel very blessed to be in such a wonderful community and have people reaching out and being able to help them, particularly people that are on the front line, police officers, fire departments. They really are in need, and they're putting their life on the line. I mean, they put their life on the line every day anyways. That's the nature of their job. And now that this is just multiplied, and to be able to help them is really something special, and something we're very proud of. Their response has been they were very grateful that the need is being fulfilled.
So you're located in, is it South Florida, correct?
Yes. Hollywood, Florida.
Now, do you have any idea how long you're going to be making hand sanitizer? I mean, is this going to be a long-term thing, or just for this particular crisis we're all going through?
Yeah, it's for the particular crisis we're all going through. Like I mentioned before, it's been hard to manage this effort. You know, Sylvia and I are kind of, you know, passing the buck back and forth, making sure one of us are home, one of us are here. We do have a family that's at home, and we're also trying to manage our employees and keeping them safe. The scary part is, you know, the supply chain and managing the supply chain has been very difficult. And more people are starting to do this, which is a great thing. But from a business standpoint, you know, this is not our core business. We like to get back to doing what we would normally do, but we did want to create a win-win where we could keep our people busy during a short time frame, keeping our networks happy, because we normally deal with municipalities anyway in water and wastewater. So the same people are the same people that we're trying to now, you know, keep safe and keep them supplied with, you know, keeping their operations safe with hand sanitizer. I anticipate this will go on for a while. But we're keeping the temperature and taking the temperature to make sure that we're not stuck with a variety of raw materials that we really don't need when supplies do start coming back. Mm-hmm. And larger vendors start getting caught up and the country starts getting their supply chain, you know, better managed. But in the meantime, we're looking at this at like a week by week basis. At this point, we do have some reliable alcohol suppliers. So we're buying about 2 to 4 totes every couple weeks and committing to doing this, you know, week by week kind of thing.
Well, how has switching over to hand sanitizer impacted your trenchless business?
So we didn't dedicate a full-time, you know, we dedicated about half our production crew to this, which worked out because our normal trenchless epoxy business slowed down for sure. Mm-hmm. This month. It looks promising. It looks like infrastructure still has to go on and corrosion never mm-hmm. stops. But in the short term, we were able to pivot and give a portion of our capabilities to hand sanitizer. It's not necessarily affecting our trenchless business per se, other than probably what the rest of America is going through, which is the unpredictability of how the sales pipeline looks going forward throughout the summer. So as long as we can keep our guys busy and keep them employed with doing both, we're going to continue to do it. And if it's a win for our frontline responders, our hospitals, our firefighters, our police, and our municipalities are trying to keep these utilities going, we're just going to continue doing it because it really is a win-win right now for keeping our business busy and active while taking care of the community. We have no doubt that as a lid gets on this coronavirus, that infrastructure and the professionals that we deal with on a daily basis would like to get back to work and get things going again, and we'll be ready to respond.
So how can people get more information about MonoCare and perhaps even ordering?
They can contact our business by going on our website. It's epoxytech.com, epoxytech.com. They can fill out a contact form there and we will respond to them within that day. Usually we can get back to people that day, or they can also email office@epoxytech.com or call our office at 954-961-4656.
Do you got any final thoughts regarding everything that's been going on for your company this past couple of weeks?
Yes, it's been a roller coaster, and I want to really definitely give a shout out to my team, who has been exceptional. Every single one of them have adapted and worked harder than I think it's safe to say harder than any of us have worked maybe ever, or certainly in a very long time. So definitely I want to acknowledge them. And I also just want to acknowledge all of the people on the front line who are doing their best and people that are working out there in the community despite all of this. And if anything good can come out of this nightmare that we're all in, it's that I hope we realize we can do a lot more with a lot less. And I hope that people are getting closer to their families and closer to God, and that this passes quickly.
And I share the same with Sylvia. And I'd always like to give a shout out to other companies that are doing similar things. We're not the only ones doing this. I don't think anyone is really doing this selfishly. We've been talking to other companies that are doing similar things in our local community, and they're really in the right place, and their heart is in the right place to make sure that they're taking care of their own, but also taking care of the community that's been taking care of them for so many years. The governments and the local municipalities, the way they also responded to this, I've seen direct communication from mayors and city managers that are on the front line every day contacting us directly, which is nice to see the leadership, you know, taking an active role in this. And then procurement directors, you know, shifting immediately to get purchase orders quicker than I've ever seen before. It's just nice to see. You know, during this dismal time, it's just nice to see that everybody is also in a mode of action and caring and not giving up and wanting to persevere and wanting to push through. We're just one small piece of the pie. There's a lot bigger people out there and a lot bigger heroes out there that need to be acknowledged. And And we're just doing our role where we can and how we can.
Well, I want to thank you for taking a few moments out of your busy day to share with us what you're doing down in Florida with at Epoxy Tech and how you're helping out and sharing it with our TT community. I want to wish everyone to stay safe and well. And until next time on our podcast, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Sharon.
Thank you. Thank you. Take care.